Okay. We can start.
Yeah.
Well, technical revolution, right? As I'd say, can I say a good morning to everybody? Is one allowed to on the phone? I must tell you that I was walking in Golders Green. I was recalling a little bit of the Sefer Zichronos when we came to Golders Green over 40 years ago. It was a different Golders Green. And Rosh Hashem, you know, every time I come back here, it's only about a year in between, it's Ponim Chadoshes, and this is another extension of the Ponim Chadoshes. So the Chag of Ponim Chadoshes are associated with Simcha, and I think it's a very big Simcha to see Mekomos of Kedusha arising in the murky sort of twilight of the northwest London scene. So I just want to sort of give a bit of chizuk, because I say a gust of a vial is 8 of a mile. You know, somebody who comes in, you don't realize what's going on here. A dovish of the Kedusha to introduce a mokum of Kedusha even on the corner of Leaside Crescent, that is our greatest that. Maybe if you say that, what they say, start the day, the turn away, and everything will go your way, right? So I'll add a little verse to it. But on both sides, we're nearly at Kabbalah Sotah. Just want to say a few things. There was an oven, a very famous oven. If you know the Gemara in Bava Metzia, actually the oven is in Masechet Kelim, you'll see the Pesachim of the oven. There was an oven about which Chachmei Yisroel Mechulak, Rebbe Lezer and Rebbe Yeshua. Good morning, Nuntes in Bava Metzia. And it was such an object of discussion, they called it the Tana Shel Achinoi. It was like the serpent's oven. A snake coiled itself around the pole. And this oven was surrounded by a halachic dispute which was not resolved between Velez and Rebbe Yeshua. Very famous. Actually, the case was, if you look at the Mishnah in Kalim, normally Mechuba Lekarka is not the Kabbal Tumah, an oven is an exception. And it's the Kabbal Tumah, but the only way to remove the Tumah is to break it and rebuild it, and they took away the mortar between the blocks, between the bricks, and they replaced it with Eifer, and the Shaila was, does that constitute a new oven, or is it the same one? Rebbe Yeshua held it was Tomei, Rebbe Lezer held it was Torah. Rebbe Lezer, this is a Blez HaGodl, a Blez Ben Hulkinus. And this was the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan Mezaka. And this dispute was not able to be resolved. Rebbe Lezer brought all the Raya Shiva Eilam that it was Torah, and they didn't accept it. And the Pesach of the Rav Chachomim in Rebbe Yeshua was the oven was Tomei. Then Rebbe Lezer said, if I am correct that the Charuv, the carob tree outside the Beis HaMedrash, prove I'm right, and the tree was uprooted, some say male, some say arba male, either the earth 200 or 800 feet, it jumped from its place and replanted itself. Rabbi Yeshua said, it was not impressed. He said, you don't bring proofs from carob trees. Naniyat, leave it. He said, if I'm right that the Amas Hamayim, the stream of water running down the mountainside, proved me right. And the stream, instead of running down, began to run upstream, if you could imagine such a thing, running upstream. So Yeshua said, no, you can't bring a raya from streams of water. We hold it still, Tommy. He said, if I'm right, he said, let the coast lay base of Medrash Shochiach. And the walls began to cave in. And Yeshua was very upset. He said, if Talmidich HaKomim HaNatzchin Zeh Zeh Ba'alacha, the walls of the base of Medrash are going to interfere. And the walls froze into immobility, and the Gemara says Ad Yom, and they continue to stay. It didn't straighten up because of the covet of Rabbi Lezer, and didn't fall because of the covet of Rabbi Yeshua. Said Rabbi Yeshua, you can't bring a proof from the walls of a Beis HaMedrash. We hold the oven is Tomei. Said Rabbi Lezer, if I'm right, let them prove me Nashamayim I'm right. And a Basco came out and said, Allah is like Rabbi Lezer, the Chol Eifen, and therefore, it's Torah ben Nashamayim, name. That's exactly what Yeshua said. Omad Yeshua, Raglava said, Lo Bashamayim, he said, you can't pass them, the Basco can't pass them, Shailah's us. The Allah is like Rav Chachomim, Lo Bashamayim, actually the Loshan of Yerushalmi is, Lo b'shamayim, he there's nothing left in the shamayim. Everything is given all of it. Therefore, it's not for the shamayim to pass them, did it? Whenever you find in the Gemara Achiyovah Eliyahu, it is not the pshat to tell you aloha. Achiyovah Eliyahu is to be megalah of Matthias, who it belonged to. But Eliyahu is not going to pass them aloha. The aloha is going to be passed them by the Chachmei Yisroel, the Piyatayu. So, the Avon remained Tomei, in spite of the Harachuah Min HaShamayim. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Nosson met Eliyahu HaNavi and says, what was the Bnei Shalom doing at that time when this dispute was going on? He said the Bnei Shalom was laughing and he was saying, Bonai Nitzchuni, my children have defeated me. A very state in the Gemara. It's a clear Dikka Gemara. In, apart from the mystical element, the idea of the Elazar and the Yeshua having such an argument, says the Gaon, why does he need to bring three riots? Either of Yeshua is going to accept some sort of mystical or divine intervention or not, but you do it the same thing three times over, it doesn't add anything. It's got no signal to air. He said Rabbi Elazar had to establish to the Oilom he was roi, he was fit to pass in our locker, because you can't pass in our lochas because you happen to be very clever, and actually this is, he is so goddled. And if I can digress a little bit to quote Dov Nifla, which was stated by Rav Simcha Zissel in the name of his Rebbe, Rav Yisrael Salanter, and which Rav Simcha Zissel said that only somebody as great as Rav Yisrael could say it. Only somebody as great as Rav Yisrael. This is a digression, but it shows what we're talking about. Rav Yisrael Salanter said, what would happen if somebody was very clever? But Mamash, a great Samoach. And he learned a certain sugi of Shas, and then he went through in that Shulchan Aruch up to the last Sifkotten. Every Pimagodim, everything. And you ask him a shayla, he tells you exactly what is stated in Shulchan Aruch. But in his personal conduct, he's not as our grace of study. He doesn't bother to get up for davening. He's not cholila napikovus, but golozim. He's not really, he's not medadek b'mitzvahs. Then the psak halacha he gives is not a psak halacha. You don't have to listen to it, and there's nothing to do with Torah Masinai. And says of Yisrael, that is the pshat in the Gemara, that the onish of the badoi, the penalty of the liar, is even if he tells the truth, don't listen to him. It's the chinus of the Rav Dom and the Malach Hashem Tzavokas. In other words, if the Rav is not at one with what he's teaching, then it's not pshat halacha, because you can't, Torah requires not only gadlus in the moach, but also gadlus in the lev and yirah shamayim. That's the ghetto. So Rabbi Eliezer had to establish he was fit. The first requirement of a Talmud Chacham is his status. If you're a Ben Olam Hazeh, you want more and more in the Olam of Gashmias, you've got no Shaychus to Torah. This is what the Rambam says in Hilchos Talmud Torah Lo B'Shamayimi, and it's not Le Vayomhi, those who are so busy in business that have no time. But maybe you'll be busy in business. It's not the world of Torah. It's Lo Ma'e Vayomhi. If he had to prove he was Mistatik B'Mu'it, he didn't require more from Olam Hazeh than was necessary. And why is the Harud symbolic of his stapkus, stagamoim brachus? The kolayon kulu abat kol said nizam b'shvil chanina b'ni. The chanina b'ni dailo v'chakav charuvin me'er shabbos le'er shabbos. The chanina b'ni dailo said, the bat kol said about him, the whole world exists in the schus of the Chanina ben Dosa, and Chanina ben Dosa, all he needs from one Shabbos to another is a little measure of charuvin. It's a minimum requirement to sustain a human being. Charuv is a symbol of his stubbornness. That was the first proof, that he's mistaken the Mu'ah. Abelez of Cholilo didn't want anything from Olam Hazeh. And the second is anibus. If a person's not an honor, they've got no shaykhus to Torah. As it says, midbar matona, if you make himself like a midbar shakol doshimbo, the Torah will come to you like a matona. And you have to prove anibus. Why is mayim a symbol of anibus? Mayim goes to the lowest level. And therefore the Amos Samayim was the second proof that he was an onov, and if he wasn't an onov, again he couldn't be Mekabel the Torah. And Min HaShemayim there were Machria, he is an onov. The proof is the water obeys his tibui, it flows up. And that was the second proof, that you can be an onov and be Mestafet B'Mu'it. And Mezit Nishan Leant, if you don't sit and learn, then nothing goes. You're the Kostei Beis HaMedish, you've got to prove he's also a Masmid in Torah. And that's the third proof, that his hasmodah in Torah is very great. But you know what hasmodah of Torah means? That when Shneur Kotler came to the Daf Yomi Siyam, I think 2-3 sessions back, he quoted in the name of his the father of Aaron, the Zechonon Livracha. He said, the Rambam Paskans of Zoe in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Mishu Rotelius Vukusa, the Keser Torah, if you want to be adorned with a Keser of Torah, Keser of Torah, Yezoya Bechol Leilosov. Be careful about every single night. Do not even lose one night. You can be a very clever fellow and you learn every night, but one night you take off. Not because you're tired, not because you've got chiyuvim stam. You just for battle a night. says, so what's wrong? You can still be a Shayla Tamar Kotel. So Rav Aaron, you can have psoim of different types, big crowns and small crowns. A big malchus has a big crown, a small malchus has a small crown. But you can't have a crown with a hole in it, because that's not malchus. If the crown has got a hole in it, it's not malchus. Says Rav Aaron, Yezoyeh b'chol leilesov, says the Rambam. If a person can be mevatel lechatchila one night, then he's not wearing the crown. The crown's got a hole in it, it's nish malchus. That's hasmoda. Hasmoda means all the time. I heard from my Rebbe of Alta, the friend of Alta once, he said, you know what a masmid is in yeshiva? Not the fellow who learns Yom of Lai, you never see him anywhere else. It's the fellow who stays in the base of Medrash even when he's tired and keeps the Sadoim. That's the masmid. That's the real masmid. People, you know, that's the Matthias. These sort of whiz kids who were sort of wind up and don't leave the base of Medrash for a week and then they're out of commission for a month. This is not hasmoda. Hasmoda is consistency. Reliability, the end of Kvias Latera. Rabbi Lezer was Machria, he had that as well. Said Rabbi Yeshua, you're correct, we accept you've got the three dagas that you need, you've got Istabchus, you've got Anivus, and you've got Asmoda. But there's Halacha, we've also got that. And the Halacha is Achri Rav Nahatas, and you can't take it away. And therefore, we don't accept any Hakulos against that. This is the discussion that went on. Says the Gaon, what in fact was Rabbi Yeshua doing at that time? When he said, Lo b'shamayim bi, it takes a tremendous kochot and nefesh. I mean, if somebody says something you don't agree, okay, you're entitled to your opinion. But when you're as great as Rabbi Yeshua, and you omeid b'pachad b'yira because of the rotzon ha'bora, 24 hours and it's less, and the Rabbi Shalom says the halacha is Torah, and you're going to stand up and say, Tommy, that takes prayer. Is to oppose a bas kol needs a tremendous bittle. It doesn't need cholila shtavkeit, it needs bittle. You need to be with battle yourself. The bas kol says it, but nevertheless, the Torah is oft unders. And to go against what you heard from a bas kol needs such a kochos and nefesh that the Torah is sublime above everything, even your own machshava. It's a get of nasa v'nishma. You don't think. Because if you thought, how can you oppose what the bas kol said? The answer is, I don't think. The Torah does my thinking. That's the battle required. You're going to battle yourself to the rotten of the Torah itself. Says the Gaon, this is the pshat. The Bereshit was laughing, said, Bonai Nitzchuni, they gave me Nitzchias. Nitzchuni means Nitzchias, not only victory. The Nitzchias of Klal Yisrael is his battle to Torah. The acceptance of Torah as being the ultimate, the last word. And we're talking today about Kabbalah Satorah. Kabbalah Satorah requires these three conditions. Istabchus, I'm not going to come around with some preaching some view of depriving oneself of everything. No, I mean within the terms of one's own environment and within one's own society, not to be in pursuit of the material world because there's no end. The Rambam says, just as material things are without limit, so is the desire for them. Anivus is the pshat that not to be unaware of your kochos ha-nefesh. That's not a nidus. The Kotzkot, the Zot Amal, he said, if the Bnei Shalom wanted to give the Torah in some place which was very modest, maybe pick Har Sinai, it wasn't very lofty. Why didn't he pick a valley? A valley would be even better. The answer is, he said, the Chochma is a Zainahar and still be an olive. To be a mountain and still be an olive, that's what a nidus is. You're not to make yourself into nothing, you're something. I'm something, true. Everything I've got is from the Bnei Shalom, so it's not me, it's the Bnei Shalom. That is anivus. And if I give you one dogma of this anivus, it's from the Gemara says in Erevin that Rabbeinu HaKodesh said, why was he zeicher to be great in Zohar? I saw the back of Rabbi Meir. Very strange Gemara. I saw the back of Rabbi Meir. And look over if you're contemporary with Rabbi Meir, then sit with him and learn. Why do you have to rely on seeing his back? Contemporary with Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir, the Gemara says about Rabbi Meir, the same Gemara in Erevin, that somebody who didn't see Rabbi Meir in the base of Medrash, was miyomo. And the only reason why the Lacha was not Kabur always like Rabbi Meir, because the Yoved Chaveiro of the Sochdato. He was such a genius, he was Meir. It was Meir Enes Chachomi B'Toy Rotsu, and Rabbi Rabbeinu HaKodesh was Zohar to have Rabbi Meir in the same day. Rabbi lived to be 120. So why did he have to rely on seeing the back of Rabbi Meir? Of his dog, again, says the Achazal, the Yerushalmi and Brochus. that is the Gemara that the Yerushalmi says that Divrei Taraniyim b'mokam echod v'ashirim b'mokam achir. And what's the rabbi? The rabbi's apostle calls it a near socha b'merchak tovi lachmo. If you, it's like a near socha. If you, if Torah, if you're like a near socha, like a ship in business, that's Torah means everything to you. B'merchak tovi lachmo. Where you have a difficulty here, something else will fill in somewhere else. The Torah has shleimus. You just have to know where to look. And the source of this, the pshat in that, I think, the pshat in this, as well, to this, to the pshat in that Gemara in Eivin, is the Yerushalmi in Beitzot. The Yerushalmi says in Beitzot, there was a machlokes between Doliat and Noim about Shabbos, where you're allowed to clap like this. It's Gzeira, in case you make a Keli, you're familiar with the Gemara in the fourth Perek in Beil. But this is the Yerushalmi on it. Are you allowed to? Is there a Gzeira? But Meir held you're not allowed to on Shabbos, and Rebbe held you were. And Rebbe made a chasna for his son. And the minhag in those days was to make the chasna on Friday. And the chasna used to sort of spill over into Shabbos. And that was the Suda. And the Meir walked past the base of Medrash of Rebbe. And the Talmidim, they were dancing and singing because of the chasna and clapping like that. And the Meir walked by. It's all in Yerushalmi. And he didn't know that Rebbe was there. The Meir maybe came from out of town. It was a different olam. He heard the dancing and singing. He said in a loud voice, "Komokalehani Rabbonim Shabbat." These Rabbonim who were dancing and being Chalal Shabbat. The Pishut was Rebbe Meir. Rebbe was in the base of Medrash. He didn't know who said it. He heard somebody saying the Rabbonim Chalal Shabbat. He thought somebody Chassid Shom had a chutzpah telling Rabbonim what to do, and he wanted to say, "But you must be mechiyach them." It's not a covet to say about the Rabbonim. Rebbe ran to the window to see who was making that comment, and he said, "Who's telling us halachas?" The man was outside. He heard Rebbe's voice. He realized Rebbe was saying it, and he realized Rebbe didn't know it was him. And he realized if Rebbe did know it was him, he'd be terribly ashamed. He said, "Who's telling us halachas? The God like those telling you halachas, the man." So the man ran away so as not to be seen by Rebbe and thereby embarrass Rebbe. And the Meir, who was the God Lador, ran like a young child to get out of the way so Rebbe shouldn't see him. He ran so fast that his coat tore. And as he turned the corner, Rebbe reached the window, and Rebbe saw the back of the Meir's neck disappearing around the corner. Says Rebbe, "Why is he mechudu tzvei mechaveiro, shew yisis Rebbe Meir machayro?" I saw the back of Rebbe Meir. I saw the anivus of Rebbe Meir. I saw the espatlus. He was a gorn oilom. There was no chochem b'yisrael like Rebbe Meir. And when it came to embarrassing somebody, he ran like a little child who's been caught doing something wrong. That is the anivus of the Gedolei Ador. And that is what you need for Gavolas HaTorah. It's so, so important. And I'll give you one out of dogma. And it's Kedai. I heard this. Actually, it reminds me of somebody who actually lived very close here. Someone called Joe Morgan, a friend of the was present. He told me a mice that happened. He was engaged in the Kodal building when Rabbi Dessler was giving his weekly shiur. It must have been in the 40s still. Before he came in 48, he came to Eretz Yisrael. So he was giving a shiur. When Rabbi Dessler gave a shiur, all of the B'nai Torah of the Gateshead came to hear it, including the Rosh Yeshiva, including the Gateshead Rav. Everybody came. We took Kaboda. Rav Dessler Shia, you could imagine. Rav Dessler Shia was a marshal, it was something to hear. And the old Gateshead Kodal building was pretty small. It was probably half the size of this building. It was packed full on the Shabbos afternoon, and Rav Dessler was giving a Shia, and Doli Torah was in there, the Red Gurb, it was Red Lofin on it, Doli Ola. And you could hear skin drops. And Rav Dessler was speaking quietly with his umkus and his karifas. And the atmosphere was really, you could cut it. And then somebody came late. And the person came late, and he didn't have to feel safe while this fellow came late. He tried the door, he couldn't get in, it was mummish squash. So instead of going away quietly, he started to push. He was a younger man, I said, more clear than safe. And he shoved and shoved, and in the end, he forced the door open. But you know, there's something, I don't want to quote John Foster Dulles, he spoke about the domino effect, right? If you remember it, people can remember what I'm talking about. There was a domino effect throughout the room. And suddenly the shear descended into disorder, complete disorder. And Rajesta's standing there, muttering something to himself, and the whole shear is trying to reassemble because this fellow shoved his way in. After about 3-4 minutes, they managed to get order again. This is how much was in the room. And Joe Moon told me, he says, what the hell, what's Odessa saying again and again, muttering to himself? And he listened, and this is what he was saying: Hakpodo is a schlechter midda. Hakpodo is a schlechter midda. Just repeating it again and again, to be matbid is a bad midda. Odessa is sort of the master of anivus, and Odessa is repeating it because this don't disturb the Shia in case he has Hakpodo. A product of the Shlechta Midah, that's Gedolei Torah. That's what they know themselves, and they've got, oh, it just moves you to tears when you hear about this. So Odessa came to visit the Chazon Ish, and as he walked down the slope leading to the Chazon Ish's sukkah, the Chazon Ish saw him. He took the Chazon Ish as his Rebbe. You see in the Bistum Elio in the letters, the Chayla Gimel. And as the Chazon Ish saw him, he stood up. Instinctively, Odessa looked over his shoulder to see who he was standing up for. That's an evil. That's what makes a person. That's what makes it a Mr. Meliyor. That's why it's the same longer than in the belt. That's why he's Talmidim, Ada Yomazeh, I'll be Marvel Mabitse Torah in the world. So that is what Anivus is. But the Yisius of Meir Machorev, I saw the Anivus of Rebbe Meir. When you see the Anivus, you know the complete Mitzvah. Hasmoda, as we said, is consistency. Hasmoda is consistency. And these three qualities is what one has to take if one wants to be a genuine Kabbalah Torah. There's so much to say about Kabbalah Torah. Let me just tell you an incident. Perhaps an incident says a lot. It happened in Bnei Brak. It happened in Bnei Brak a long time back, probably 45 years ago. There was a group of American students visiting Eretz Yisrael. A group of American students. These American students were, it's impossible for us to be musty, but they knew nothing at all, absolutely efes behind, about Yiddishkeit, except that they were Jewish. When I say nothing, if you ask them a Hebrew name, they wouldn't know what you're talking about. They did not know an aleph from a beis. They were totally assimilated, and probably the next generation they wouldn't be around anymore. But they knew they were Jewish still. It could be there was a bit of anti-Semitism where they were in college, and that sometimes helps these things. They decided they want to do Israel, make a trip, right? And apparently they had the wherewithal; they were not poor, and they organised themselves a trip. And there were plenty of takers, plenty of people willing to show them around for a fee in Eretz Yisrael. They came to Eretz Yisrael, and they went to a nice 4 or 5 star hotel and had the air-conditioned bus to take them around, boys and girls, young men and women. And they toured around Eretz Yisrael. And wherever they went in Eretz Yisrael, you know, the minute, I think perhaps things have changed a bit in those days, you had to see the biggest in Eretz Yisrael. You know, that was their way. And if they would stop and think for a minute, if you want big, America's got bigger than Eretz Yisrael. But nevertheless, one of the items on their itinerary was the yeshiva. The biggest yeshiva was Ponovich. So they decided they want to visit Ponovich yeshiva. Okay, so be it. Visit Ponovich yeshiva. They came to Bnei Brak in their air conditioned bus, and it was the summer afternoon. And there wasn't, the girls were not exactly the sort of models of sneers, and the guide had a bit of safer, he bought scarves to give them, and the boys were given paper couples, and the girls went one way to look at the base of Medrash, and the boys went up the steps, and the doors were wide open, before air conditioning in those days, and the doors were wide open. You know what Ponovich is like in the summer. It's like a powerhouse of Torah. You can hear it, whoom, you know, it's going there. 500, 600, 800 people learning in the Beit HaMedrash, there's magnificent on our Kodesh there. And it's just a Torah, there's nothing else to see except Torah and an on our Kodesh. And they all gaped through this door after 5 minutes, had enough of what Satan was showing you. The noise carries on, and they all sort of started to drift back to the bus. The guy said, okay, next. One of the young men said, he said to the guy, he was better over 20, he said, look, I'd like to stay a bit, I'll find my own way home. You go away, I know where we live. Okay. He stood there for an hour, gaping into the Beit HaMedrash. An hour. At the end of an hour, he began to cry, and he ended up weeping copiously like a little baby. One of the American members of the Kohl passed by at the time, one of the Americans, he could see it was obviously an American young man, And he went over to him and said, what happened to you? He thought, Chalila, some tragedy, he's weeping. He couldn't talk. So this Kolonik schlepped him along. He said, I live nearby, come have a cup of coffee, calm down. And eventually he gave him some coffee and calmed him down. He said, what's happened? What do you want? He said, I want to join the yeshiva. Join the yeshiva. Okay, that's what you know. He didn't look sort of exactly the right yeshiva. He came from the right yeshiva Katana to be in politics. He doesn't know anything. Doesn't know Aleph, doesn't know faith. Join the yeshiva. It's a bit too much for this problem. He called one of his chavarim from the Kol also. He has to speak to the Rav, Ponovich Rav. Ponovich Rav was the Kiruv worker, par excellence. The evening they took him along to Pondashavov listened to the whole story. This young man sitting there sort of trembling, what's going to happen to the awesome sight of the Pondashavov. Pondashavov says, no, you can't come to yeshiva. The young men were stunned. And again he started to cry. They took him out, they couldn't bear his tears, the hysterics, and he came back to the world. How can you be miraculous, such a person? So he said, look, you know he doesn't fit in the yeshiva. Pondashavov knew what he was doing. He doesn't fit in the kernel either, right? So you've got 150 young men in the kernel. Now divide it up, half a day each, that's 75 days, that's the area for 2.5 months. Keep up that sort of system for 3-4 months, take him into the kernel, and each person in the kernel should be another half a day for him to teach him. And see what you can do, he sits there just as well as he does in the yeshiva. Of course they had to meet the kernel, but once upon a time said so, that was it. He was taken into the kol and became the most ignorant member of Ponovich kol. People there were blocking the shas and poskim. This fellow needs to be taught other things. 4 months later, they brought him back to the Ponovich Rav, and they said, "Rebbe," they said, "he's already learning Gemara with Tosfos." Apparently, he was a very elusive young man. He had tremendous rotzon, and he just learned Yom Avai. He could Rebbe's as well. In 4 months he was learning Gemara with Tosfos. What should I tell you? Today he's one of the top Ma'avitei Torah in the world, one of the top Rosh Hashiva in the world. One doesn't say who he is. And how did he come there? This is the bottom line. This is what the Pon Mishorov himself said. No gimmicks, and no logical or sort of intellectual persuasion. He simply saw the Koyach HaTorah operating in the base of Medrash, and his neshama homed in on that. Because the Koyach HaTorah is the Yerusha of Klal Yisrael, and within him was the Nitzus of that Torah, and Motza Minas Minas. And that is what we're doing when we Mekabel the Torah. We are Motza Minas Minas. We are homing in on the same base of Medrash of Pondich, and that base of Medrash is homing in mamash through the Doros on Har Sinai, where the Hashruas HaShchina came, and where the whole Gedula of Yisrael emanates from Kabbalah to Torah, Har Sinai. And to finish, and I'd like to finish with the words of my Rebbe Reb Nosson. He said, that's why we lay, one of the reasons why we lay in Rus on Shavuos. Because people think we're better, we're a Besser Mensch, we're Yidin. No, you're nothing. It's a Torah which makes you a Besser Mensch. And the proof is Rus came from a non-Jewish background, from the Tumah of Moab, and she was the couple of Torah. And as a result, she was Zoicha to be the mother of the greatest dynasty in the world, which will bring the Mashiach. Because she was Mekabel the Torah, it's the power of Torah which makes us great. And we have a special schus, and Bez Hashem, tomorrow night, we're going to rejoin the Kesher with Har Sinai, and we should be Zoicha to be Mekabel it to Simcha.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.